Just a reminder, I'll be back in the this chair tonight, Sunday night into Monday morning. First half of the program, Dave Schock is one of the principals behind a fascinating project called CubeSat for Disclosure. CubeSat, as in Cube Satellite. He and his team have raised money to launch a small cube low Earth orbit satellite. That's about the size of a shoebox, and it's equipped with a digital still camera. So again, they've raised money to launch this thing, and its purpose is to hunt for UFOs. That's Dave Schock and CubeSat for Disclosure in the first half. Then, the co-founder of a hedge fund, Michael Kimmelman, was arrested as part of a huge insider trading case. And while he was offered a no-jail probation plea, he refused, maintaining his innocence. Kimmelman will discuss his time in prison and reflect on his experience before incarceration, rubbing elbows with financial titans and making and losing hundreds of thousands of dollars in daily gambles on the street. And it's all laid out in his book, Confessions of a Wall Street Insider, a cautionary tale of rats, feds, and banksters. That's all on Coast to Coast tonight into Monday morning, and I'll be your humble chat show host. Hey, I don't know if you've been following this eat and greet series that George Norrie is putting on. It's fantastic. It's an opportunity to have lunch with George at the Great Greek Restaurant in Sherman Oaks, California, where you can enjoy gathering with other like-minded people as you have fun at lunch, meet some of your favorite people in the world of the unknown and the curious. Tickets go fast. The next one is coming up Tuesday, June the 27th. That's Lunch with George Norrie and author-researcher Rich Martini. June the 27th, a special eat-and-greet luncheon at the Great Greek Restaurant in Sherman Oaks, California. Here's what you need to do. You need to email your name and phone number to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. Then you'll get a call back with the details. So again, that's Tuesday, June 27th. Lunch with George Norrie and author-researcher Rich Martini at the Great Greek Restaurant in Sherman Oaks, California. Back with your questions and comments for psychic medium Sloan Bella right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with Sloan Bella, sloanbella.com. And I wanted to ask before we get back to the calls, Sloan, a number of people have called in talking about having dreams or having, people on the other side that populate their dreams. I get a lot of that. How do you know when you're simply having a dream about someone who's passed on, a relative or a friend? And how do you know when they are actually contacting you through the dream world?
Well, the dreams that you have about them when they've crossed over are them contacting you from the other side. Some are more textured and tactile, as in you will wake up crying or you will feel them or you will feel like you were with them. That's actually when they take you into the astral levels in your dream state. And the other ones, when you just dream of them, like they come to you in a dream and you answer a phone and you talk to them or you sit down and have dinner with them, but it doesn't feel as real, that's still them spending time with you. And it's more of a I've learned it's more of a telepathy type of thing rather than an actual sensation thing. And when you leave your body into the astral level, that is a physical thing. So you will actually wake up feeling the difference, but both of them contact you. And again, keep in mind, when they work from the other side, okay, like for example, let's say I just dropped dead right now and I crossed over. Okay, so I'm going to be the same as I was when I'm here. So I'm going to be, probably talking nonstop, loud, that kind of thing on the other side. So when I connect with you, it's going to be within the vein of my personality, but in a spirit way. And so they contact us with how their body works, and you pick it up the way that your body handles things. So if you're more sensitive and shy, you will feel it differently than like I will feel it. It comes through like a thump into my head. So it's very just kind of like in your face with me, but that's the way I handle it. But when spirits are talking to me, they speak to me the way that they choose to, the way that they were comfortable. Do you get what I'm saying with that?
Like, yes, 100%.
It's exactly like that. So it can be different in every dream. It may be very subtle. I found when they do communicate, which is what I was telling Elizabeth, there's a subtleness to a lot of what goes on. And we watch so much media that, you know, has the ghosts like literally stopping cars in the middle of the street, you know, this kind of thing. And that takes a real strong energy to do that. So the energy that's crossed over has to have a dynamically large personality. And I'll give you an example of that. Somebody like Bill Clinton, when you walk into a room with him, whether you like him or not or whatever, but when you walk into a room with a public figure like that, their aura extends out like six times the level that ours does, because they're public and they have to grasp and pull people into their sphere. So they're like a mini planet on the earth, for lack of a better way to put it. They're like a mini planet. So that kind of energy on the other side, if it's communicating with us, is very overpowering. Like, some spirits are overpowering. So it depends, and it depends how they maneuver on the other side. Newly crossed over spirits with spirits that have been on there for a long time, it's different with everybody, as it is with humans on this side.
How long does it take once they cross over for them to be able to communicate? Can it happen within days, or how long does it take?
It can happen within, my experience has been a couple of days, and I will usually pick them up before the funeral. Like, I can tell if they've crossed over in a positive way. They will show themselves in a certain way to me, which is illuminated, so I know they're not in a dark place. Some souls are shut down. Let's say, for example, you die in a way that you didn't recognize. Let's say you don't realize you're dead, all right, for whatever reason, and you cross over. Sometimes on the other side, when we cross over, there's a period of almost being put into a shut down state, so that they have like hospital references on the other side that I've seen when I'm meditating, where they kind of shut us down and they raise our vibration and energy to get all of the earth stuff. Like, if we've been through trauma, let's say you're in war in wherever, and you've crossed over, there's a lot of that before you will actually pick up the energy, because the soul and the energy is so kind of screwed up at that time that it has to be aligned. Kind of like your next out of work, and it's a chiropractic visit. You have to be aligned, and then I'll pick up on the soul energy. And sometimes they don't come at all. Like, there was at one point I had a experience after a surgery where I went out through the bottom of my body, and, you know, my husband had come into the operating room and said, I caught, like, I was waking up after the surgery, and he had said, you know, how do you feel? And I'm like, I'm fine. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, my heart's going to stop. And I felt it go click, click. And I flew out through the bottom of my body, and I went straight over to the left side, and my guide was right there. I mean, right there. And he put his hand out for me, and I started to walk that way. And I could hear my husband faintly in the background. Now, keep in mind, he's just directly above my head, but it sounded like he was down the street whispering. And I could hear him saying to the nurse who was telling him to put his hand on my head, well, she was trying to get me back, you know, to be conscious. And I could hear him saying, no, no, she's going to be mad at me if I do that. And as soon as he touched my head, I sucked right back into my body. My goal was just to leave and go with the guy. And I remember waking up using profanity. And the nurse was like, boy, you weren't kidding. Because I wanted to go on the journey on the other side. And I literally, my guide was right there. So I'm assuming had I passed right out of my body, I would have just kept going. I don't know that I would have come back right away.
It sounds like you're ready to go anytime. I mean, you have no fear. Yeah. You're looking forward to it, it sounds like.
Yeah, I always preface this. I do not want to fall out of an airplane or, you know, get shot on the street or something like that. But I am excited about exploring it. So I look at it as an exploration, and I'm excited about that. But I'm excited about being here too. It's just that was like, if they can take me over there, I've spent a lot of time more on that side than this side, you know, even in my waking day. So it's very exciting to me. And I mean, I could be crazy. It could all be a hallucination technically, but I mean, this is what I tell to all people. And I will say this to your listeners and yourself, we all die. So how bad can it be? None of us get out of that, which means it's the evolution of the human and the soul. So it cannot be that bad. Maybe the means in which we die may seem more traumatic, but I've actually experienced people in accident situations in front of me, random people I didn't know who've actually like crossed out of the body in front of me. I just happened to be a witness to the accident, and they pop right out of their body. I mean, there is no pain other than what we visually would assume is pain. They're right out. Like, they almost pop before the impact.
I'm kind of excited to know what's on the other side myself. I feel like I'm going to go on a cruise.
You may do that. You may cross out and do that. There's I don't know if you know who Michael Newton is, but he was a hypnotherapist that did regular. He was a psychiatrist or psychologist. He did hypnotherapy for people with issues, and he started regressing them back into past lives and lives in between these lives. So when you say cruise, that's not far off, because we live lifetimes. Sometimes you can't reach a soul because they're in the process of another lifetime in between lifetimes. So you could be very accurate. You might be picking up psychically that you will exit here and go on a type of cruise, which would, in my mind, directly tell me that you are interested in educating yourself on the other side, which you said, but a cruise would be a way for you to see the other side in a pleasant way while learning. So it could be very figuratively or literally on the other side, which is interesting. Although you don't need to cruise and you don't need food on the other side, just in case anybody cares.
Let's go to the wild card line, and Clarence is in Alaska. Clarence, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Yeah, hi, Richard.
Hi.
And your guest, I'm sorry.
Sloan Bella.
I got the show. I'm fishing in Kenai. That's the home of Art Bell, 6:50 a.m. You were talking about a couple of things that I caught. I wanted to quickly tell you that, first of all, Steve McQueen, I grew up with Steve McQueen's son and daughter, Terry and Chad. I knew Steve. I knew Neil Adams. Steve went to Dr. Contreras' clinic in Tijuana, Mexico.
That's right.
For Laetril. And my father did, too. And I had the pleasure of knowing Steve. Steve was a decorated Marine. People don't know that. I was a graduate of Chino Boys Republic, and so was Steve. Steve was in Alaska. He saved Marines in a training, in an Arctic training, that went through the ice. Okay, I grew up with Chad, Bobby Toko, Bruce Penhall. James Garner was his neighbor. Steve was a hardcore man, but he had a big heart. He would throw beer cans over the fence to James Garner's house. They lived in Brentwood. And I just wanted to say that I grew up there. I've been in Alaska. It's kind of a something I wanted to tell you, that Steve McQueen was a good man, and Neil Adams, and then he married Allie McGraw. Hello?
We hear you, Clarence, and thank you for all that information on Steve McQueen. Did you have a question?
Cool.
Did you want to get a message to Steve? Or
yes, I did. I wanted to say a shout out to my little sister Marion Louise Adams, who died in the line of duty in the Pacific Division, LAPD. And
oh, very nice. I mean, very good that she was in service.
And she died. She was my sister. And
all right, Clarence. Well, I'm sorry for your loss.
There's a house in Lawndale that's 100 years old that's going to be torn down. I'm trying to stop it from Alaska. It's on Marine Avenue and Kingsdale Avenue. Please stop that house.
All right, Clarence.
Tore down.
Again. We can put energy into focusing that for you. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for your call, Clarence. And again, so sorry for your loss. Let's say hi to Allison in Los Angeles. Good morning, Allison.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Excellent. Thank you for hosting this great show. Thank you so much, Sloan Bella, for all that you do and who you are. And so
hi, Allison. Thank you. And you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I feel excitement, and I'm hearing activity. I can just kind of feel a lot of spirit around me once I intended to call you. So I'm just wondering, you know, who it is, and is there a message from family or spirit guides that is coming to you for me?
Okay, great. Super. Do me one favor and say your name and give me just your date of birth, please.
Sure. All right. My full name is Joan Allison Kelly, and my date of birth is July 2nd, 1959.
Nice. Okay. You didn't even lie about that. Good for you.
I know I'm a private person, so I felt like it, but I said, oh,
yeah, man. Good for you. Okay. Now, the way that I would word this to you actually is I'm getting a message, and this is a spirit guide message for you. And it's actually a spirit teacher on a soul level for you, because you're being pushed right in to being more connected to the spirit side, and it's happening really quickly, and you are having a little bit of anxiety at the moment, right? And for maybe the past 6 months, six months, anxiety and fear is right there. So like when you wake up in the morning, you're just like, oh great, I'm going to get dressed. Now I'm having anxiety. This is happening because you're moving through very quickly so that you can start harnessing the energy of picking up on spirit for yourself, because you've actually been asking to do so.
Yes.
They're letting me know to tell you that this is happening, but the anxiety you're suffering from is very normal, so I don't want you to be afraid you're having a heart attack, because they're telling me that you're a little bit of a hypochondriac that way, or however you want to word that. A person that worries that if you have anxiety, something might actually be wrong. It's not the case right now. It's your body energy. It's almost like they're putting you into extreme workout and your body is being pushed to the limit, and that's what you're feeling. I'm also feeling that you're, at the moment, it's very scattered between what you're doing. So I'm going to ask you to take a breather and slow down when it comes to doing this. Are you actually taking classes to open yourself up? Is this some kind of like, I want to use the word training, but it's classes to open yourself up spiritually?
You know what? Not outside, but definitely like inner training going on heavy right now. This is a very deep incarnation for me, so definitely.
And what about the anxiety, Allison? Are you having anxiety issues?
Yeah, it's been, you know, that 9 year into 1 year, like a lot of people, yeah, it was definitely heightened stress for the last...
Well, it's heightened, and in particular, I'm going to go back 5 months, it's been heightened for you because they're pushing you into this period. And is there a baby brother on the other side with you?
I've been told that before.
Yeah, I am feeling a baby brother on the other side.
Wow.
Very strange. Do you know a lot about your mother, or was she very secretive? I feel she was very secretive because I feel that there's
And she's still here, and she's a very secretive
person. Yeah, it feels like there's a baby brother on the other side, and this could have been something that was unplanned, not spoken about, and happened and no one mentioned after just because of shame or embarrassment, but I do feel it. Meaning they didn't want to be put in that position of having to go through that, but I feel there's a baby brother on the other side. If it isn't actually your baby brother, then it's hers, but I'm hearing the word baby brother with that.
You know what? It just came to me. I know for sure. Yeah, something long forgotten. Yep, for sure.
Okay, because I feel like that who's like immediately in your space, like as you're speaking to me right now, obviously they can come and go as they want, clearly, just like we can open a door, walk in and out. But
well, we've got to come and go as well, unfortunately. Allison, thank you for the call.
Thanks,
Sloan, you stay put. We've got a little more to go here. We're into the home stretch.
Absolutely.
We'll take some more questions and comments. Here's The Who taking us into the break with Let's See Action right here on Coast to Coast AM. Sloan Bella, psychic medium on the line from Los Angeles. We'll get to more of your questions and comments in a moment. Hey, if you like what you're hearing tonight on Coast, I invite you to check out my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show. It airs Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern out of Toronto on Zoomer Radio AM 740, which is a monster 50,000-watt blowtorch station. You can pick up the signal up and down the eastern seaboard, Maine to Minnesota, northern Ontario and Quebec, right down to the Carolinas. And if you're outside of that area, for a list of affiliates, go to my website, StrangePlanet.com. strangeplanet.ca, strangeplanet.ca. You can also download the free app and take the show with you wherever you go, the Conspiracy Show app for iPhone and Android. And we also stream the Conspiracy Show live on YouTube most Sundays, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. That's the YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit subscribe. Back with Sloan Bella, psychic medium, right here on Coast to Coast AM. All right, we are back with Sloan Bella here on Coast to Coast AM, and let's move quickly here because there's a lot of people who've been waiting patiently. Let's go west of the Rockies. Sean is in Santa Barbara, California. Sean, good morning.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. This is not about me. It's about us. It's called Special Bulletin. It's a reward of $20,000, which I do not want. It's information wanted, missing juvenile. I was at Alameda Park. There was this, I'm reading right from the flyer. It was on the telephone pole. Grandmother gave me this flyer, and she begged me. And if you've seen Pledge or Lonesome Dove, I gave my word that I would do the best. I do not have, I have Parkinson's. I do not have a computer. I do everything
gotcha.
Like this woman does it very intuitively. That's how we're connected. Mm-hmm. I gave them my word. So please, people that are on the line, this is about this child, not us, not Jimi Hendrix. It's about this missing child.
All right.
Okay.
And what are you asking, Sean?
I'm asking if she can pick up on it or I can give.
Okay.
I have the flyer there. I'm not saying that the father kidnapped this. His name.
No, we can't. No, we better not do that.
Okay.
No. No names, please.
All right. Well, he's male, 5 years. He's.
Okay. I know who you're talking about, I believe.
He's 55 pounds.
5 years old, correct?
Yes.
That's the one that just went missing in April, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't even know if I want to say this out there. I don't feel anybody's hiding him. I can't quite connect to the spirit of the child, so I'm going to put it that way. I'm not picking up the child, but when you asked me, which is a good sign because I'm not picking it up. So wherever he is, I can't reach him, at least from that perspective. But I don't feel anybody that the dad knows is hiding the child out. And I think, meaning I don't think that the child has been taken out of the country or hidden, like, I don't know, in a basement somewhere. I don't think it's that. I actually think the dad's goal was to consume and control. That doesn't sound good to me, but I do feel, I will word this to you, I feel in July, this coming July, that the case will be resolved. So I feel information will be found in the middle of July. It's going to keep happening right now, but by the time we hit July, we will know where that boy is. I actually don't have a good feeling about it, but I can't pick him up on the other side. So I'm going to hold out hope that I'm just paranoid about that. I don't pick him up, but I feel as though the dad was being destructive and evil at the time. And I feel actually like he made a mistake with what he did. So I feel like he started out to do something and it was, in his mind, an aggressive act, but he took it too far. It was a mistake. And I think that that's what he's hiding from. I almost feel like he doesn't know how to get out of it, and I feel like he can't get out of it. So more on the side of this missing child, I feel like it might end in a tragedy at this point, but I can tell you the mother will know where the child is by July, and it's by the middle of July. I think she will have confirmation about what happened. I'm more
right,
hearing that around the circumstance rather than what happened to him.
Well, let's pray that it's a positive outcome.
Yeah,
all right, Sean, thank you for that.
Thank you, Sean.
First-time caller Daryl is in Florida. Daryl, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Good morning to you as well.
So, all right, go ahead. You're on the line with Sloan Bella.
I will say that this is certainly going to be worth it. I want to thank you for allowing me this forum to share this information. I feel compelled to share this information with your listeners. I've been holding on to this now for about 5 months. Just to give you a brief brief information about me and my background, I'm a two-time veteran in the Army. I hold professional credentials. I've been practicing over 20 years as a licensed funeral director. And something occurred to me 5 months ago that a little bit different than anything I've experienced in my 54 years here on Earth. I entered in something that may have been a dream state of some kind, or it was an out-of-body experience. I'm not sure which one it was.
It was out-of-body.
I've never experienced anything like it before, nor since. So I'm going to make this as concise as possible. I know that there are callers on the line, and they're waiting to get through, and they have important information to share as well. What happened was that I feel that I had fallen asleep inside of a truck. And during this time, I woke up. Just a moment here. I woke up in another state of being. I recall being maybe about 20 to 30 feet hovering over mass amounts of people as far as the eye can see. It was very difficult for me to see the people, although I could make out their images. It was the muted colors below. You could clearly see that they were people there. And there was a deafening noise of screaming, yelling, moaning in such a way that your body would quake from the high decibel of the noise. And the only way that I could possibly describe it is if you were to take maybe 100,000 stadium, football stadiums, filled capacity, and everyone is screaming all at one time. And so beyond that sound, as I was looking around, I noticed that off to the left, there were little people there. They were different in that section than the others that I saw. And all of these people that were there were being tormented. Various things were happening to them as if they were being killed over and over again in different ways. Things boiling on their skin, skin falling off, body parts falling off. There was all sorts of confusion, fighting, tears, all of these things happening all at once, almost like it was churning and bubbling. They were packed in a very dense manner, like sardines, but you could see the movement and the agitation occurring. And so as I was looking out among the masses of these people, I saw off to my right-hand side, there was a column there. The column was not made or constructed of bricks, but it looked almost like it was molten rock. It gave the appearance as if it was inside of a cave. I can't say whether it was or not, but it was vast.
All right, Daryl, just because I want to just move things along here, this is an out-of-body experience of hell. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. There was a presence on my right side behind me that I could not see, but I knew it was there. And that presence gave me the feeling that everything was okay. It didn't matter what I was seeing, what I was hearing, this experience, I was okay.
All right, let's get Sloan in here and see if she can interpret what you may have seen, Daryl.
I knew that it was there, though I did not turn around to see it.
Okay. Daryl, that's such an awesome experience you had. It's not the most pleasant, and it might be perceived as a little bit frightening, but as you started speaking, I was jotting down notes. And this, Richard, is to your point where I start doing the automatic writing when I'm listening to somebody. But what I was seeing is this was a holding realm, so you were actually being given insight, and you got a very important message. You were being shown the belief system of people who had crossed out of their body due to whatever maybe unpleasant experience they had and behaviors on this side. You were seeing them in the holding realms. When you were first flying above the people, or I'm sorry, observing the people from outside of your body, and it was an out-of-body experience, you were seeing them as the choice that they made to stay in that position, and the feeling you had from behind you was the knowledge being given to you that you don't have to remain there, that you can always ask to come into the light, and you will. And that's a very valuable lesson. The people you were observing believed on a soul level that they should be there, but it was of their own doing. It's not like they were sent to hell. Their behaviors on this side led them there. They can get out of there at any time. I've heard this story before. You're not the first one with it. I mean, it's the first experience where I'm hearing it recently. But when people cross over, let's say you've done maybe naughty things in the world on this side, when you cross over, if you have a belief and a knowledge that what you've done has not been on your highest side, you can make a choice to do that. Like, there's been near-death experiences where people have crossed over into hell, and there is, it's the holding realm that you were in, though. That's what I call it. I don't actually know the technical term for it, but it's when souls are making a decision about where they're going to go. So are they going to choose to ask for help? Are they going to atone for their life? Are they going to step up and choose to see, or are they going to keep trying to take care of this themselves? And you got that information, but yet you felt safe. That's an awesome message. You knew that the light is stronger than the dark. That's what you're telling me by what you saw.
All right. Thank you, Daryl, for that. That's quite a vision. Let's say hello to Stacy in Oxbridge, Massachusetts. Stacy, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Good morning. I just had a question for you, Sloan.
Hi.
I know you said you were adopted. I don't know if it's an infant or it's a little girl. I think that you rebelled as a teenager. I was wondering, had you not been adopted, do you think your life had taken the path it did, and have you been rebelled? Or did some of you, were you sad because you got adopted? Is that some of your rebellion?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. Yeah, I don't know that I was ever, well, when I was younger, I was probably wondering why my parents didn't keep me. So that's a really good question. But I don't think I've ever been sad about it, because I don't, and never have, looked at the bloodline as being relevant. It's a way of the soul coming through. So I've kind of always understood that we pick our parents based on what the soul has to learn. But it is quite possible, had I come genetically through my adopted family, I would have had a completely different genetic makeup that pushed me in a different direction. I might have been, as per my family, an engineer of some kind, or, you know, a very technical person, because they were kind of geared that way. So that's a good question. Genetically, yes, I probably would have taken a different path. And I don't know whether I would have had psychic ability or not, because no one's really expressed that in my family. Although my mother was exceptionally psychic, she could always tune into stuff. I don't know that she, I'm talking about my adopted mother, I don't know that she actually verbalized it to people, but she was on point with her intuition. But yeah, the problem with the gene pool, I don't think of it the same way. I love people the way that they are, and I base my connection to family on who I feel connected to, which has nothing to do with gene pool or blood. It has to do with soul. So I love on a soul level, which means color, race, creed, and gender are not in it for me. It's whom I love, regardless of where you come from or whose, quote, bloodline. So
all right, Stacy in Oxbridge, thank you for that. Let's say hello to east of the Rockies. Scott is in Missouri. Scott, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hi. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Two things. When I drive, I'm driving at night. I drive all the time. A lot of times, almost every night, I make street lights go out when I go under them. I don't know what that's about. And then little children, whenever I'm around little children, they just stare at me. I can be in McDonald's and a kid in the next booth will turn around and just look at me. And the lady will be like, quit staring at that man. And I just had a little grandson. And when I hold him, he just looks at me, and he looks up above my head. I'm just wondering, what's all that about?
Oh, well, it's Scott, right? Hi, Scott.
Correct,
yes.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. When you drive by and you blow out lights and electrical things are affected, spirits connect energetically to electricity. So it's quite common for psychic people or people with the gift who don't do it for a living, and I call them sensitive, meaning they're psychically sensitive in their environment. They tend to blow out like microwaves, watches, lamps, anything electrical, phones, they'll blow them out. They'll you know, get all scrambled around them. That's because the psychic energy, we are electricity, but when we're in the human form, we don't vibrate like that, but psychic people do. Children can pick it up because children are new on the planet. They just got here. So they recognize that in you. And then when they look above your head, they can see your crown chakra. So they see what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. They can see that you can connect with the other side because it's almost like it's a light that would extend up and yours would be open. So the children can actually spot it. Maybe they don't verbalize it. It's like smelling something really nice or seeing something that you want to touch. They just want to go over and acknowledge it. They're acknowledging it to you.
You have an electric personality, Scott. You have an electric personality.
I had some guardian angel or something around me or...
Oh, we all have those. You definitely have it, but it's actually that you're sensitive, meaning you're psychically connected to the other side. That's what you're describing.
Scott, thank you for that. I want to work Thea in here in Hemet, California, on the wildcard line. Thea, go ahead. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
Okay. We've just got a couple minutes here, so Thea, if you can get right to your question.
Sure. I have a friend, and I had a visitation from him. I believe it was. Possibly it was a dream, but I fear that he might be dead. Can you feel anything about it?
Okay. First name of friend.
Of the friend, Brad.
Yes. Okay. All right. You feel he's dead. What you're actually picking up on, at least from my perspective, okay, real quick, is that his behavior is reckless. And that reckless behavior is leading him to potentially leaving the planet. But when you connected with him, it feels like he was more out of body in an unconscious state. So is he an addict of some kind? Because that's what I'm actually feeling from this, rather than him being like literally crossed over. If he is crossed over, I'm not picking it up. I'm feeling more that this is something he does unconsciously to himself. And I feel like it's coming, but it hasn't happened yet.
Does that make sense, Thea?
Yes, the first visitation, he definitely was alive, and he was saying, I'm so cold, I'm so cold. But the second one, I thought maybe he was dead because it came with the wind and the vibration I get when somebody visits me.
Okay, it's possible. I'm not picking up on his energy on the other side right now, or he's not showing himself, but he's an addict, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're picking up on. You're picking when he's abusing himself and he's out of body. And, of course, he's not cognitive of this. So he's coming to where he knows it's comfortable unconsciously, which is to you. And when he's talking about it, he's pushing himself to the limit. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the next little while you do find out he passed. But I don't feel like he is right this second. But you're picking it up. So you're crossing paths. You're getting it a little bit ahead of time, but there is no time on the other side. So you're actually feeling that. You're feeling where he's going.
Thea, I hope that you find Brad and that this is a positive resolution to his disappearance. Thank you for your call. Wow, Sloan, we are just about done. This must have been exhausting for you. Are you going to like sleep in till noon tomorrow just to recover, or how does that?
You're hilarious. No, I actually had a lot of fun, but I always have fun with my Canadian peeps. So it's been really fun. Everybody's so lovely on your show. No, I'm actually going to get up at 5:45 and I'm going mountain running. I'm sticking to my schedule and I'm doing it.
Good for you.
Then I'll come
Good
home
for
and
you.
Sleep.
Well, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and stick some tomato plants in the ground. So
nice. That's great. That's
well,
for summer, huh?
I have enjoyed this conversation immensely. Thank you again. And the website is SloanBella.com. SloanBella.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye, Richard.
Bye-bye. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyon, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Chris Burrows, Sean Latasur, Michael Cossio, and Donna Walker, and here in Toronto, Nathan Smith, Scotty Guest, and Alyssa Federighi, thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. So long for now. I'll talk to you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. I'm Richard Serrett.